We've got breaking news. President Trump demands the Supreme Court of the United States step in.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo for your Friday. Will Haynes is joining me in studio, and Cece Hiles is going to be joining us live from Geneva. She is there, a part of the European Center for Law and Justice right now. But we have some breaking news. Actually, happening right now, President Trump is taking questions from reporters after announcing the new fighter jet agreement that has gone in. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but we're going to make sure we're monitoring this. If there's anything worth sharing with you all live, we will absolutely go to it. So stay tuned for that. But one of the things that happened overnight, President Trump posted on Truth Social addressing the issue of rogue judges, something we've been talking about for the last few weeks, whether these judges do have the rights to go in and intercede and change really his plans. And of course, this has been something that's been longstanding law, but is being used over and over again, Will, and it seems like it is time for maybe some reform. So a president, because look, if it's going to happen to President Trump, it's going to happen to every other president in the future, because Republicans will start playing this game, so will Democrats, where you're just going to go judge shopping, finding who you want to shut down any movement that can happen from the White House.
Well, and I think for the American people, it seems frustrating when this is just off the heels of the election, that it seems like almost every action the president takes is getting tied up in courts immediately, and not just tied up like, oh, there's a suit, but many times a TRO, temporary restraining order, is issued for a certain amount of time, which then maybe turns into an injunction, and it slows down the process. These things aren't getting resolved quickly. We know here that the wheels of justice turn slowly in many circumstances, but when you see that, when the American people were hungry for change from the last 4 years, and it seems that every action is being stopped by the courts, it's causing concern, it's causing outrage in many areas that we're not seeing this progress move as quickly as possible. So last night, President Trump put out a statement essentially demanding that the Supreme Court get involved and wants to stop nationwide injunctions now before it's too late.
Yep, that's right. We can read it to you. And if you're watching right now, you can see it. This was on Truth Social, even though the graphic still says, still has the Twitter bird. You know what? I'm going to request that we adjust that. And please make it correctly in the future. But here's what it says. Unlawful nationwide injunctions by radical left judges could very well lead to the destruction of our country. These people are lunatics, capital L, who do not care even a little bit. And again, these are President Trump's words, not mine. Just going to make sure that. I don't want any angry judges on me. About the repercussions for their very dangerous and incorrect decisions and rulings. Lawyers endlessly search the United States for these judges and file lawsuits as quickly as they find them. It is then the obligation of law-abiding agencies of the government to have these orders overturned. The danger is unparalleled. These judges want to assume the power of the presidency without having to attain 80 million votes. They want all the advantages with none of the risks. Again, a president has to be allowed to act quickly and decisively about such matters as returning murderers, drug lords, rapists, and other type of criminals back to their homeland or to locations that will allow our country to be safe. It is our goal to make America great again, and such a high aspiration can never be done if radical and highly partisan judges are allowed to stand in the way of justice. Stop nationwide injunctions now before it's too late. If Justice Roberts, United States Supreme Court, does not fix this toxic and unprecedented situation immediately, our country is in very serious trouble. And again, that whole statement was one post. It took me a little bit to get through it, but you know, I'm pretty
doozy,
proud of
Logan.
Myself. On Truth Social from President Trump, again, clearly hearing the frustrations of a lot of people like the ones who call into our broadcast and who watch every day. Now, whether he's right by the rule of law, that's something that's going to have to be debated, discussed, and eventually probably taken to the courts. And we can be there. Go right now to ACLJ.org. Make your donation today. We are heading into now what will be the final week of our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of March, where your donations are doubled. And we're going to give you a bit of an update also on our campaign in Massachusetts, as hundreds of expectant mothers have flooded our website, our new website, through our new campaign. We really hope this means lives are being saved. Go to ACLJ.org. We only got 1 week left. Do it today and give me a call if you want to be on the air. jamming up. You can call in right now, 1-800-684-3110. If you called in earlier, it took a little bit for the phone lines to open up, so now they are available. Three are open right now, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take your calls and comments on this again as President Trump responded to those rogue judges on Truth Social last night, really calling for Chief Justice Roberts to step in. We also know Chief Justice Roberts made a statement already, a kind of an unprecedented statement, saying, hey, we shouldn't be undermining the rule of law for these judges.
That's right. So last week when there was a call for impeachment against one of these district court judges, President Trump echoed that as well, that the Chief Justice put out a statement basically saying, mind your own business to some degree, that that's not the way that we have agreed upon, that this is a good way to fight over political disputes is by impeachment. However, there were people like Senator Mike Lee that said, this, since impeachment is a purely political process and not justiciable within the court system, it's interesting that Justice Roberts decided to speak out on that. You're seeing a lot of fighting between Congress, between the executive branch, and between the judiciary at this point. As far as President Trump's statement here, asking the Supreme Court to step in and do something, I think the odds of that are fairly low, especially since the issue of a temporary restraining order was able to get relatively quickly to the Supreme Court as far as that went. And they decided not to address whether or not TROs are immediately reviewable by the executive branch. Typically, TROs, because they are limited in nature,
temporary restraining order
is not typically something that is appealable because it is for a set time so the judge can gather information, set hearing dates, and things of that nature.
It's more just a hold to say, hey, we're going to wait this out. We're not putting anything in place because we need to make sure that we rule on this correctly.
But what you're seeing is when temporary restraining orders and injunctions are happening in mass, you're seeing it being kept within that lower court where the president would like to get it to the Supreme Court much quicker. The Supreme Court has traditionally wanted to wait for everything to go through the full appeals process. So get judgment in the district court, go to the appeals court, and then it be appealed finally to the Supreme Court where they decide whether or not to take the case. However, you even saw this with Jack Smith. He tried to take something immediately from district court on emergency appeal with the documents case out of Florida to the Supreme Court. And they said, let's hold on. Let's wait and go through the proper process. So there is history there that they typically want to see the full process play out before taking the extraordinary step of granting an emergency appeal. But now what you're also seeing is what I think is probably the more likely angle to start to maybe reform some of this, and that's Congress. So there is dueling legislation or maybe complementary legislation being introduced in both the House and the Senate to try to limit the power of district court judges.
Or at least define really what the rules are, define really what we're working with here. And I think a lot of people will see that. I think President Trump making these statements also is what's going to turn the media attention to it. When the media turns to it, it always feels like the Congress and the Senate have to get themselves involved because all of a sudden you have a lot of congressmen and senators who say, hey, I can get on TV right now. I'm going to hop in. And then all of a sudden they're hopping in on the conversation and maybe things can get done. Things can happen. Of course, we're still talking about yesterday. I mean, we're dealing with the fact that President Trump's talking about right now that he considers those Tesla vandals to be terrorists. That's coming from President Trump right now as he's speaking. Those kind of topics, the media is driving them. We have right now in London, at Heathrow, they are investigating whether the fire that caused an outage that looks like it pretty much put Heathrow, one of the largest airports in the world, out of commission for at least today, though some power has been restored, whether that was a terror attack. And they're now looking into it as it may be. We have to keep our eyes on what's going on. And the media is responsible for making sure that we know what's happening. I was kind of shocked with the Heathrow situation. Not really that shocked, but that, you know, MSNBC was covering it a little bit. BBC obviously was covering it. Fox and CNN kind of lightly covering it because I know in America, if it doesn't affect me, it doesn't affect, you know, kind of outside of America, it doesn't affect me. I don't care in terms of what people think the viewers want. But we know it's a small world. We know how much that London and those kind of central areas can impact everything that's going on. And that is happening right now as President Trump is addressing a lot of that in the White House. But could we see changes with these judges? Could we see actual movement happening? We're just going to have to see. Like Will said, it's now time to just actually redefine, or at least define, what the rules are, because the American people just simply, and I'll be honest, I'll put myself in that, did not know they had this extreme level of power that could override the plans of a presidency, could override the plans of the president of the United States.
That's right. And there's a hearing today in the case regarding the flights where they deported under that late 1700s law, the Alien Enemies Act, that where they sent them to El Salvador, and the judge that was upset about that. In the Justice Department, I think it was Eli Honig on CNN, said something to effect of, as an alumni of the Justice Department, I am jealous of the way that they're speaking to the judge right now. Like, basically said, they're doing everything that we always wanted to do, but knew that we probably couldn't. Now, we're going to see how that plays out for them. They are, the Justice Department under Pam Bondi and the attorneys there are playing hardball. They're saying some of this stuff you're not privy to. This is national security. They are trying to delineate that separation of powers, and we're going to see how it plays out. I don't think the judge is going to like their arguments, therefore it's going to go on appeal. But then you also have, the Congress does have oversight and can make laws for judicial reform, and that's exactly what Senator Hawley's calling for.
Oh yeah, you have that bite.
And I think we should play this. It was on Sean Hannity's show last night, Bite 4.
To me, this isn't about Congress taking away power courts currently have. This is about Congress reforming and stopping the abuse. These district courts, these are the entry-level federal courts. They do not have the authority to go out and to say, Mr. President, you can't do this. We're going to bind everybody nationwide. They don't have that authority, Sean. Congress can make that clear. We need to do it right this second. If we don't, here's just a fact. If we don't, in Trump's first term, there were 64 national injunctions issued against him. 64. In Obama's entire term, only 12. So you can see where this is going. We've got to put a stop to it.
Yeah, and I think Josh Hawley's right. It even right now, if the law states that this is how it should be run, I don't think it was ever interpreted to be like this, where a judge could anywhere, again, President Trump even said, why would you even run for president? Just push yourself, to be one of the district court judges. And then you know what? You have power above everyone. You have ultimate power. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110.
And that's right. And once again, the court that is established by the Supreme Court, by the Constitution, rather, is the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
This is Article 3, Section 1. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. So that even right there from the Constitution, the Supreme Court is the court established by the Constitution that can't be gotten rid of by the Congress. Now, the lower courts are the ones, and the appellate level are the ones that are created through legislation. And therefore, that's where Josh Hawley is saying this is where our power can come in, that we can ordain and establish, as is said by the Constitution,
I know that part.
How this runs. And I think that is why the more likely outcome, rather than being the Chief Justice issuing some proclamation or something of that nature, unless these cases get and they write in an opinion that, you know, this doesn't seem to line up with original jurisdiction or with the judicial review that comes out of Marbury versus Madison, I think you're more likely going to see some sort of reform come from Congress. And right now would be the time to try to get something like that through, because if you're wanting limits put on, it's while you have the House and the Senate, and you'd have to find some Democrats in the Senate to get over that filibuster threshold.
Yeah, we're going to take some calls coming up in the next segment, so keep calling. If you're on hold right now, Michael, Bill, whoever else is on hold, we'll do our best to get to you. 1-800-684-3110. But we only have a week left in our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of March, and this month is really focused on life. You've heard about our new campaign that we have launched in Massachusetts. We've been working on that for nearly a year. We've been trying to defeat this propaganda campaign by the state of Massachusetts that are pressuring women into abortion, smearing pro-life pregnancy centers, and we have already seen that spreading to other states. So we're going to be battling that in court, but we are also launching, and we already have launched, our major counter ad campaign in Massachusetts, and again, could take it around the country if you believe it's important, called Choice Begins Here, to spread the truth and to spread hope to mothers in need. These pro-life pregnancy resource centers often provide food, formula, clothes, diapers. It's not just prenatal services. They do that as well. So we created a website, and we've been marketing it directly to those in need. Again, this isn't a fundraising website. That happens right now when you support. This is an information site. And we have seen hundreds of people in the area, maybe more now, maybe thousands, in that area of Boston, Massachusetts, go to try to find their local pro-life pregnancy resource center, because they know that they have a real choice when they step into those buildings. And we need your help, because we're still short of our goal. It's a very expensive campaign. Go to ACLJ.org right now, or scan that QR code that you see on your screen. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take some of your calls and comments coming up, and we're also going to spend a good chunk of this segment to tell you about our new campaign, Choice Begins Here, and all the work that we're doing on behalf of pro-lifers and in support of mothers that are in need, future mothers that are in need, those who are expectant mothers, because pro-life pregnancy resource centers are currently under attack, and they're under attack by states like Massachusetts and California, who have said, hey, not only do you need to avoid these people are misleading. They're going to tell you lies. They're not going to give you real options. But we know that's not the case. We know that these are great people, the sweetest people you've ever met, who are there to, sure, do they want you to have an abortion? Absolutely not. And they are there to help show how they can support you, how you can be helped. How, if you're in need for prenatal, postnatal, that they can be there for you. A lot of these centers not only offer ultrasounds, they also offer formula. They'll do days where they offer free clothes. There's so much that they do. One of our callers called in and said their pro-life pregnancy resource center in their area paid for the first birthday party of their child. So they do amazing work, and they're really sweet people, and they are under attack. But before we do that, I do want to address some of the calls that have come in about the topic. And the topic of hand, of course, we're talking a lot about these rogue judges. We're talking about a lot of laws getting put. We're going to go to Michael first in Oregon. He is an ACLJ champion. ACLJ champion is someone who gives on a monthly recurring basis. And if you do that, you also get bumped to the front of the line. So he hasn't been on hold the longest, but he gets to be on first. Michael, thanks for being a champion. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm watching, listen to your show, and my wife and I are supporters. She used to work for the Pregnancy Care Center. We're older now, but awesome. This law that's been on there since 1789, whatever, there must be other laws too, but they just had to pick this one out because they used it. Is that right?
Okay, yeah. Your question is, and I saw in your, when you were putting up the phone screen, it said it seems like people are angry about using a law from the 1700s, but aren't they realizing even our Constitution is that? Of course, we've had amendments throughout the years, but yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of these laws that are on the books, and sometimes they're there for a reason.
That's right. And this law did specifically talk about, incursions against the United States. And when it's an organization like Tren de Aragua, which is a criminal enterprise, it's a large gang. There is evidence based off of the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, what he has laid out, that there is coordination between the government of Venezuela and this gang of how they operate here. It's a destabilizing force. It's a criminal enterprise. That it fell nicely within the text of that law. When there is a incursion or a threat of incursion or invasion from a foreign power, back in the 1700s, there wasn't necessarily the same type of terrorism or quasi-state entities like large criminal gangs and things. But I'm sure that maybe they could have even looked at some laws against piracy and things of that nature, where there were large forces that were.
When you say piracy, you mean piracy.
I'm talking about like pirates. Historically, not talking about downloading things on Napster.
Okay, I'm just clarifying for people who are listening. You're talking about you know, of the seas.
Right. And so things sometimes that you wouldn't think of as having modern context, when the way the law is passed, if it's still on the book, it hasn't been overturned by Congress. It hasn't been overturned by a court. Then there are many laws that, just because it is an older law, you point out the Constitution predates all of our laws. And that is still our guiding principle and what gives us our protections to our rights and freedoms in this country. So, yeah, I think they're protesting of, well, that law is really old. It's like, well, that law is still in effect and on the books. Why are you not allowed to use it? It'd be like arguing you don't have the First Amendment,
yeah,
no free speech, because that law is really old. Though some leftists would argue that.
Yeah, so they don't want you raising the Jolly Roger, Will. So let's go to Greg, who's calling in Colorado. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi. Isn't the cart before the horse here just a bit? I mean, these judges that are doing all this, these liberal judges, how can they do such a thing? I mean, don't they want criminals out of this country? I mean, it's like they would do anything just to oppose our commander-in-chief.
Well, Greg, I think you're right there. I think there's two different questions there. One of them is, how can they do it? Well, we know what the laws are on the books, but they need to be clarified. That's what Josh Hawley said. We need to make sure that they actually can operate correctly, and that we feel like that what you put judges there for is what they actually can do. Now, when it comes to whether they are just going after President Trump, I think the answer is a 100% resounding yes. And you can look at the numbers. President Obama had 12 injunctions. In President Trump's first term, he had 64, and that number is getting higher and higher now for the second term. I don't know where we're at right now, but it's already in the double digits.
Yeah, I believe it's between that 12 and 15 number that President Obama only had for his entire two terms.
You know,
Exactly. And I think that's what's so frustrating to people, is they see it and it's so blatant, it's so obvious that it's a continuation of lawfare. It's where when he was running for president, the district attorneys or the attorney generals of states or any number of the special counsel were trying to bog him down in the court system from as many different angles as possible so that he could not run for president. Now, the groups are going to courts in friendly jurisdictions to get nationwide injunctions to bog down his agenda and try to limit and put a check on the executive power in ways that many commentators point out that don't even seem appropriate. And that's what the Justice Department is arguing. They argue that the maneuver by sending the criminal gang members out of the country to El Salvador was likening it to the president, the commander-in-chief, moving troops in a foreign theater, that a judge couldn't step forward and put an injunction on moving troops in Afghanistan from one place to the other, that there are certain powers that are the commander-in-chief's. Now, that's what's before the court. I think based off the contentious nature of this, we know that the way that this judge is probably going to go, but we'll see what happens in the appeals and Supreme Court process.
Yeah, I wanted to take this last couple minutes. We're going to play in the next segments, we're going to play some of the ads that we have been working on for the Choice Begins Here campaign. Because I know it's like, hey, that's a hard pivot from what you guys are talking about to life. But really, there's pretty easy way to jump in and see where those things are connected. And of course, it's connected because we're going to have to go to court. It could end up at the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, because we know those things take time, we had to be able to counter the campaign because we were seeing the drastic effects that were happening to these pro-life pregnancy resource centers in the city of Boston, in the state of Massachusetts. They had a 30% rise in abortions and a 30% decline of people visiting these pro-life pregnancy resource centers when the state decided to attack them with their ad campaign. We had to respond. And they have a multi-million dollar ad campaign. We budgeted $500,000. That's our goal. Okay, that only lasts for a few months. So if you feel like this is necessary, because hundreds of people already, maybe more, I'll try to get an updated number, have visited that website and gone to specifically the find a location. Not just people looking for information, people looking for the location of a pregnancy resource center. And that means babies' lives are potentially being saved by the hundreds because of you and because of the support of our ACLJ members and our ACLJ champions. I'm going to show you some of those commercials when we get back, because understand that we are presenting hope in a way that the pro-life movement really has never done it before. we are presenting real choice in a way that the pro-life movement has never done it before. Because we have an amazing group of people like you who get behind us, support us, and we can hire the best of the best to put together incredible, incredible campaigns and, of course, incredible legal effort. Go to ACLJ.org, scan the QR code. We got a second half hour coming up. Find us broadcasting live at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. I almost said the seventh half hour, which would be a lot. That would be a telethon. Second half hour of the broadcast happening right now on ACLJ.org, across the country and across the world, on YouTube, Rumble, Salem News Channel. We're available on all these outlets because of you and who support the work of the ACLJ, including this broadcast, Seculo. And I thank you all for being a part of the team and being an ACLJ champion. We got a lot of calls coming in, but I did want to take a minute more to talk about our new campaign, Choice Begins Here. It's been part of our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of March. You've seen some of it, but we gave you a couple of breaks. Look, it's not the most fun topic to talk about. It's fun to say we were able to get creative and come up with some really interesting ads, and those ads are being effective. And we got to buy the space, understand that. So we don't just make the ads. We then have to go to, you know, billboard companies, digital ad spaces, different areas, because you'll see those ads pop up in everywhere from, you know, event centers, movie theaters, bathrooms, and hopefully you will see this. And what we've seen is that thousands of people have gone to the website, and probably closer to 1,000 people have actually gone to search for locations of that resource center near them. And that is only in one market. We are talking about the greater Boston in the Massachusetts market. So it is making such a huge impact. And I wanted you to see it, because this is not your pro-life campaigns of the 80s, the 90s, or even the 2000s. This isn't us sitting there with pictures of aborted babies saying how gruesome and disgusting it is. Of course, we know it is. But I think a lot of people know it is. And you know what? That doesn't matter anymore. It does matter. But it doesn't matter to the pro-choice, pro-abortion groups. They've embraced the fact that it's death. They've embraced the fact that it's murder. We've moved on from that. They just think you should still have that choice. But what a pro-life pregnancy resource center is actually provide you with that real choice, because we've heard from so many people who have walked into a Planned Parenthood or something like that, and they feel pressured, but not at a pro-life pregnancy resource center. Let's play one of those ads. This is for Choice Begins Here, our new campaign, and this is what you are supporting.
My ex told me to take care of it. He told me I couldn't handle a kid, and clearly he wasn't going to. I felt so alone. And then I found a pregnancy resource center. The nurse told me I wasn't alone. She performed an ultrasound. I actually saw my child. I knew from that moment on that I would do whatever it took to love and protect my kid. She said that I had options, but that they had resources to help. They've been there every step of the way. When things have been tight, they've provided formula, diapers, and even clothes. They become a part of my family. Our family.
To find a pregnancy resource center near you, go to choicebeginshere.org.
Again, that is one of many ads that have been running for Choice Begins Here. And of course, on those ads, there's not like a fundraising part of that. This is not a fundraising campaign. This is a campaign where we are taking the money we are raising for it, spending it, getting the ads out there, so hopefully babies' lives are saved and pro-life pregnancy resource centers can stay in business. And they can't do it without us. They are so thrilled that we're getting involved, because they do not have those kind of resources. They do not have an audience of millions of people who listen and watch every day. They do not have a YouTube channel with almost 500,000 people who just subscribe, and even more that watch. But we do. And because we do, we can ask. And we can say, please support this, because we think this is vitally important. And I really do. And I'm putting up this QR code. You know it comes from a personal story. You know it comes from a story that I feel deeply connected to. And I'll be honest, that I feel like this should be something that we're doing around the country. But we have to have more responses. And I'm not saying that hyperbolically. I can see what people respond to. And I think this one is a bit out there, and it's a bit different. But different isn't bad. Different means we are aggressively changing the way people are thinking. You have to adjust not what goes on only on in the courts. You have to go for people's hearts and for people's minds. That is how true change happens. When we get back, because look, I also think you need to be focused on what's happening, not just in our country, but around the world. We're going to be joined by Cece Heil live from Geneva to give us an update of what she's been doing at the UN as a part of our European Center for Law and Justice. You're not going to want to miss that. Stay on hold if you're on hold and give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. Cece Heil joining us live from Geneva as she's been spending time with the European Center for Law and Justice at the UN. I want to get an update from you, Cece, live, obviously on your phone. We're doing this. This is the cool part about technology and how things move. We're able to go and get these live feeds, you know, for very little cost. This used to cost thousands and thousands of dollars to connect to someone via Europe, and now we're able to do this. But Cece, go ahead and let us know what you're doing and what happened today.
Yeah, we just ended up, actually we're ending the week because it's the end of the day here in Geneva on Friday. And so I finished my last oral intervention today. Today was on Pakistan. Yesterday was on Israel. And so I was able to once again, be one of the only voices that defends Israel before the UN Human Rights Council, and was able to point out that the Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, and when you listen to even the name of that commission, you realize that there's bias even in the name of the commission. But I was able to point out that bias and to point out that their reports are 100% bias and really just, you know, pro-Palestinian propaganda, and demand that their mandate be terminated, that that's just a waste of, you know, the UN's resources and their time. And so, once again, it's my honor to be able to be a voice defending Israel, because at the UN, Israel is the most condemned nation in the world. Out of the 193 countries, it gets the most condemnations from the United Nations.
Cece, we talked earlier in the week about you'd been to side discussions about Syria. You and the ECLJ hosted a panel about laws and persecution within India and things of that nature. And today, it was earlier in the day for you. You did an oral intervention on Pakistan. I actually want to play that for people now so they can see what you were doing earlier before you joined us. But then I want to get some analysis from you on your presentation. Let's go ahead and roll that now.
I call on the European Center for Law and Justice.
Vice President, in Pakistan, blasphemy laws have been weaponized to silence and persecute religious minorities. Innocent Christians falsely accused of blasphemy are regularly attacked by bloodthirsty mobs. These mobs are often free to operate with impunity, are rarely challenged, and even retaliate against police who provide assistance. Furthermore, Pakistan's archaic blasphemy laws often come with harsh and unjust consequences. Anyone can be charged, tried, and convicted of blasphemy, a crime punishable by death, with little or even no evidence at all. Judges frequently do not decide cases on the merits because they are afraid of being attacked by the mobs that pack the courtrooms. This mob pressure often leads to convictions of the wrongfully accused, regardless of the evidence presented. Our affiliate is currently representing five innocent Christians who have been victims of false blasphemy prosecutions, with three of them on death row. We request that Pakistan do a better job of providing due process of law for all its citizens, including religious minorities. It is imperative that the legal system be impartial. Repealing the blasphemy laws is the ultimate goal, but in the meantime, we request that Pakistan expedite the hearings of blasphemy cases, decide them on the merits without succumbing to mob pressure, and release people who are falsely accused of committing blasphemy. Thank you.
Cece, when you have this opportunity to present, and one, many people may not know because we don't talk about it all the time, but that we operate within Pakistan. We have an affiliate there. We talk about the ECLJ more often than we talk about the work in Pakistan, fighting for those that are being persecuted not just harassed for their faith, but actually put on death row for their faith because of these blasphemy laws. How is that received in a place like the UN? And I know that we've had success at the UN at pushing back on these things. So I just want to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was an interactive dialogue with the Special Rapporteur on Minorities. And we had already had a private personal meeting with him previously and very receptive. Obviously, he agrees the blasphemy laws need to be repealed, but we're able to give him these cases specifically. And when he meets personally, you know, they can do country visits and meet personally with the Pakistan delegation. They're able to push for justice in these cases for us. So very successful. We had a field desk officer talk to us. And on one of the cases, she was actually shocked that we were the attorneys on the case. And so they're very pleased when they get the direct source with the attorneys with the cases. And then believe it or not, we met with almost every person on the Pakistan delegation again this year. And they're very receptive. And we're very hopeful that we're going to get some movement in our cases. And then we're hopeful if those cases get movement and get to the higher courts that we will see our clients released and justice will be done.
That's what I wanted to focus a little bit on, CeCe, before we let you go, is the ECLJ and the ACLJ, you are there, but what is that goal, that end goal for people to understand that when you're there making that presentation, who are you presenting that to and what can actually get done? Because I think that's one of the things that's very important to our audience is making sure that, look, when we raise support here, when we ask you to become an ACLJ champion, we ask you to make a donation during a Life and Liberty Drive, that they know that the money is going to something that's meaningful, impactful. And sure, we see that video footage of you there right now in Geneva making those statements. But what is the goal? What's the next step?
Yeah, so the goal is to follow up on that. Obviously, those are the members that we need to get that message to, and really the members, the world members, because other member states can hear what's going on specifically in Pakistan, and they can reach out and put pressure on them to do the right thing. But the goal is that, and really the ultimate goal is that at some time we will see the blasphemy laws repealed in Pakistan, because those are the laws that they use to persecute Christians. But right now, the main goals that we actually see in our sites is that we have three clients that are innocent Christians on death row, literally convicted to death by hanging for false blasphemy charges. And we are very hopeful that our efforts here are going to push those cases to a conclusion that we see all three of those clients released.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Real life and death situation, real persecution that's happening around the world. We got to always keep in check when we say Christian persecution here in America, what it truly means and what it truly means to those around the world, because it's very different. Sure, Christian values are under attack. Churches are sometimes being shut down on places like the public beaches. We got to make sure we're there for them. But in other parts of the world, you are still being killed for your faith, sometimes by your own government or by speaking out, by saying something that goes against the overwhelming belief of the country. That is what we have to make sure our team is there for. And I want to thank CeCe for joining us again live from Geneva. Again, these are not cheap operations, so I really do appreciate it. We are on a Friday. We are headed towards the last week of this Life and Liberty Drive. So right now, I'm going to encourage you to make that donation. We do have a lot of calls, and we're going to try to get to as many of those as we can. Before that, though, can we show another one of our videos from our new campaign from Choice Begins here? I would love for you guys to just take a minute and take this in. This is created by our team. This is a project of the ACLJ. And hundreds of lives have already likely been saved just in Massachusetts alone. And we want to take this around the country. If you all deem it fit and you decide it's worth supporting, go ahead. This is another one of our ads for Choice Begins here.
My ex told me to take care of it. He told me I couldn't handle a kid and clearly he wasn't going to. I felt so alone. And then I found a pregnancy resource center. The nurse told me I wasn't alone. She performed an ultrasound. I actually saw my child. I knew from that moment on that I would do whatever it took to love and protect my kid. She said that I had options, but that they had resources to help. They've been there every step of the way. When things have been tight, they've provided formula, diapers, and even clothes. They become a part of my family. Our family.
To find a pregnancy resource center near you, go to choicebeginshere.org.
That was one of our ads for Choice Begins Here. We're going to have more to show you. We have multiple ads, but we had that one loaded in, so I wanted to make sure you saw that once again. And that's one of many ads that we've produced that are running right now, and babies' lives and mothers' lives are being saved because of it. So I encourage you right now, as we head to this final break, before we take all your calls and comments, some of you have been on hold for 30 or 40 minutes. I'm sorry about that. It's just part of the nature of broadcasting sometimes. We're going to get to those calls coming up in the next segment. Phone lines, there's one line open, 1-800-684-3110. But we got 1 week left in this Life and Liberty Drive for the month of March. And of course, the life part is what we focus on in March. And all donations are doubled right now. That means there's another ACLJ champion ready on the other side to unlock a donation that matches your donation. Don't wait until the last day. We're still short on our goal and we have 1 week left. Go to aclj.org or aclj.org/savebabies. We'll leave that QR code up on the screen here for the next 10 seconds so you can scan it, be a part of it. Again, these commercials are running all throughout Massachusetts. We want to take it around the country. All right, time to take your calls and comments. We got one line still open at 1-800-684-3110. A lot of you have been on hold for a long time. Judy in Oregon on line three. You're watching on YouTube, and you've been on hold for 45 minutes. I am sorry, Judy, but go ahead.
Thank you. My question is it legally possible to bring a RICO case against the leaders of the Democratic Party for malicious prosecution?
I'm not sure specifically about a RICO case. I don't think that would really fit in the standards for that. However, there are other ways that we can address these things through the law and through the media.
Right. I don't believe that it would, what you would have to prove for it to be a racketeering and corrupt organization case.
Which we understand why you feel that way.
Right. It feels like a racketeering and corrupt organization case, but I think it would be hard to prove the coordination at a level and corruption at a level as far as that statute would be difficult to prove, and therefore I don't think would be brought. However, stranger things have happened these days.
Yeah, you never know. Judy, thank you for your call and comment. We'll look into it, though, you know. The Rocketeer is one of my favorite Disney films.
That's The Rocketeer, Logan.
That's what it is.
Okay. Wrong movie.
Okay, you know, I just thought maybe I'd bring that up right now. Let's go continue on with the calls. Bob's calling in Ohio. Also been on hold for about a half hour. Appreciate it. You're on the air.
Yes, I believe it's high time that Congress acts to restrain what's been referred to as activist judges. In reality, they're communists who have for decades gone against the will of the people. They are not authorized to legislate, and they must be disbarred and not permitted to practice law in any manner. They are usurping
a lot of eyes have opened up over the last few weeks. I don't think that this was getting near the attention that anyone ever expected. But when you start compounding it, it becomes a real problem. And really, the media has to showcase what's happening for the American people to understand what these judges have the right to do.
Well, and it's been a concern of those of us that have watched the legal proceedings for decades, when you see, I mean, there's a reason that the Ninth Circuit was always sought by the ACLU and things of that nature.
Friendly courts,
because
judge
they
shopping.
Were going there. And they also knew that the judge's judicial philosophy was more activist-minded, less strict constitution principles that you'd see from a more conservative judge, and therefore they would be more willing to go out on a limb. You saw some of these rationale from some of these judges either quoting social media posts or even looking at quoting, instead of the Declaration of Independence, quoting Hamilton the play as rationale for things that they were doing. There's also the Washington Post had an opinion piece written about all of these issues, and they even conceded many of these judges appear to be issuing the TROs before even looking at the facts of the case. And in reality, the entire piece from the Washington Post was that everything Trump is doing is bad. And in the way he's harming the judiciary. But then they're like, now we do have to concede. In a lot of these cases, they're just seeming to go ahead and slap it on the Trump administration because it's the Trump administration. So even the far left of the left in the media have to concede that many of these cases, it seems like the judges are putting the cart before the horse, as one of our callers previously said. Yeah,
politically motivated. Let's go to Jim, who's calling on line six. He's watching on YouTube. Jim, I like your comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that from what I could understand reading the Constitution and researching this, even in the Congress itself, in the Congress, it mentions it also, in a nutshell, there was only one court created that had the power over the executive or the legislative branch, and that's the Supreme Court. All others are inferior. Even if you go to these different sites, the National Constitution Center, it specifically says the inferior courts do not have any power over the president of the United States, only the one created when the Constitution was written. Well, all Jim, these others.
I'm only cutting you off just because we're going to run out of time. I need to get some other calls in. I think a lot of people at least interpret it very similarly to you, and that's why you have people like Josh Hawley coming in and saying, hey, we at least need to get a defined ruling on what these judges can and can't do, because it gets a little blurry when you look at the text.
Well, and also, Jim, though, where it does get blurry as well is such as the action taken under the law from 1798, is that the executive action or is that the use of the law? And so, yes, there's also the judicial review aspect that came out of Marbury versus Madison, where the courts do have jurisdiction to see whether or not laws fall within the Constitution. Even a very old law that may have never been challenged could theoretically still be challenged under the court. So it's also what tact does the left take when they're trying to challenge the action under a law passed by Congress? It's not as cut and dry, especially when you have a judge that may be predisposed to resist actions of this presidency as just saying, you can't do it here, can't do it here. And that's why I think the senators and those members in the House that are saying, hey, we need to clarify this, are right to say so.
All right, I want to go ahead and take another call. Candy in Georgia, watching on YouTube. You're on the air.
Yes. Can President Trump be put in jail if he refuses to listen to the judges since they're going against the Constitution?
Well, that's why we're here. That is why the ACLJ exists, to make sure a lot of these kind of things don't happen. But look, as Will said, all bets are kind of off.
Well, and in reality, now, as the president, if they were bringing criminal contempt charges against the president. Yep. I also think he has absolute pardon authority.
Yeah, so
he
could probably take care of it.
No, I don't think it ends with President Trump in jail. I think of all bets are off, I think that's maybe the one that we can go ahead and say. I don't think it's going to happen, because I also don't think Pam Bondi is going to then issue the marshal service to go get him.
There are consequences, and we have to make sure that we are there to defend when necessary, because some of these consequences, like, you can't just violate what these judges are doing. We've seen that happen. The judges have stepped in. The president sometimes in the administration has said, we're not paying attention to this, but a lot of times they have, because there are consequences that can come from that. And we're not going to be able to get to you, CJ or Mike, today. I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to get to any more calls. But that's why the ACLJ is here. You heard our pro-life campaign. That's great. We're also here to make sure your values are being shared and that people are being protected with your values. That could be you. That could be you going to aclj.org/help because you need help in your local community. You need help individually. We'll be there for you absolutely at no cost. Or that could be the President of the United States. Let's throw up that QR code. I want people to look at this right now. And of course, can we do the other one too? Can we do the life and liberty one? Is that all right? Do we have that here? Because look, this is beyond what's going on with the ACLJ and just our pro-life campaigns. We're doing a lot right now. And your donations are doubled during this life and liberty drive. So I want you to scan the QR code if you can. This is the last push for the week here, everybody. So you're going to hear it one more time for the next 45 seconds. We got 1 week left in our life and liberty drive, and this is it. Your last chance to have your gift doubled at aclj.org. We are still short of our goal. And again, that's not hyperbole. We are behind. We really need your help. And we only got 1 week left. Don't wait until the last day or until the month is over. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Have your gifts doubled. I want to show you all the different commercials that we have. You can do that on ACLJ.org. You can see all the things that we're doing right now. You can see our pro-life campaigns. You can sign petitions. You can get involved. You can download the ACLJ app. And of course, all of that is not behind a paywall. It is absolutely free because of people like you that support the work of the ACLJ. So do it today. Help us in strong. ACLJ.org.